نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Dear brothers and sisters, I have just recited to you three ayat from Surah As-Saff. They are ayat number 9, 10 and 11. You might have noted that I never use the word verse for ayah, nor the word chapter for the surahs of Quran. This is intentional, because Quran is a book absolutely unique in all the respects. The terminology used about the books in general cannot be applied to Quran-e-Hakim. Its surahs are not chapters. We should always call them surah. And its ayat are not verses, nor are they sentences. There are ayat which comprise only of one word, and there are ayat which comprise of several sentences. So no terminology of grammar or the words commonly used about the books written by men can be used in respect of Quran. So this is Surah As-Saff, and I have recited three ayat. First of all, I am reading to you the translation by Muhammad Marmaduke Iqbal. I find that his translation, as far as I can understand, comes very near to the essence of Quran. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ He it is, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent his messenger بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ with the guidance and the religion of truth. لَيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ that he may make it conqueror of all religions. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ however much idolaters may be averse. يا أيها الذين آمنوا O ye who believe هل أدلكم على تجارة Shall I show you a commerce تنجيكم that will save you من عذاب أليم from a painful doom تؤمنون بالله ورسوله Ye should believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ And you should strive for the cause of Allah with your wealth and your life. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ This is better for you if ye did but know. صدق الله العظيم Now, first of all, I want to tell you that the major portion of the first ayah, that is, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. This is repeated in Quran at three places without any difference. The same verse. And it is very important, because if some words are repeated in Quran, it means these words are very important. We must ponder over them with all our ability as much as we can. In these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the purpose of the advent of the last prophet and the last messenger of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very relevant question. Why was he sent? What was the purpose of his advent? Is there something special? Now, as we believe, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet, a link, although the last link of a very big chain. Thousands of prophets came before him. We don't know the exact number, but in some traditions, it is given that 1 lakh, about 1/10 of a million, and somewhat more, 24,000 added to it. This is the number of the prophets which have been sent to mankind. And 313 of them were rusul, were messengers. If we translate the word Nabi by prophet and rasul by messenger, actually I find it very difficult. Because the basic terms of Quran, the basic terminology of Islam is also very unique. It's very difficult to find single words for each of these words. Who is a Nabi? And what is the difference between Nabi and Rasul? Now this will be a lengthy question to answer. I don't attempt that here. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of them. There is one ayah in Quran, مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. I am not a new prophet, new messenger. There have been messengers of Allah before me. Nuh was a messenger of Allah. Moses, he was a messenger of Allah. Sayyidina Masih, he was a messenger of Allah. And I am a messenger of Allah. So the basic purpose of the advent of all prophets must be there in case of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. What is that basic purpose? Teaching and preaching, what we call tabligh, ta'leem. There are certain terms of Quran, tabshir, to give glad tidings to the people. Inzar, to warn people that this is not the only life which you are living in this world. There is the real life after death. There is going to be resurrection. And you will have to stand before your Lord, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for accountability. You will have to account for all your actions and deeds. Each word that you utter, you will have to explain it. So all the prophets are warners, munzireen. They are the givers of the glad tidings. They are mubashireen. They are the preachers of truth. They are muballighin. And the sum total of all this is what I explained today in the Jummah sermon. That is shahada. Shahada ala nas. They are witnesses to the truth, to the true deen of Allah. And they testify to it verbally as well as practically. And on the day of judgment, before every ummah is judged, its prophet will stand first of all, and he will testify that, O Allah, I had communicated to them your message that came to me. I preached that to them. I communicated your words to them, not only verbally, but also practically. I set before them a practical example in my own life. So this is the basic purpose of all the prophets, all the messengers of Allah, and that is the basic purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. This is the meaning of a ayah in Surah Ahzab. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhiran wa da'iyan ila Allah bi iznihi wa sirajan munira. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have sent you as witness, as giver of the glad tidings, as warner, as caller towards Allah, and as a lamp of guidance. Now we believe that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not only a prophet, but the last of the prophets. He is not only one messenger of Allah, he is also the last messenger of Allah. And mind you, the institution of prophethood has come to its zenith in the personality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is a distinguishing character, something which makes his advent unique. The purpose of his advent, which is unique to him only, that is referred to in this ayah. And as I have told you, this has been repeated thrice in the Quran. Now you try to understand this ayah. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. It is he, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent his prophet, his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with two things. Number one, the complete guidance, that is this Quran. This is the complete guidance for mankind for all times to come till the end of this world. This is al-huda. Hudan lil-muttaqeen, as is given in Surah Baqarah in the beginning. And hudan lil-nas, guidance for the whole of mankind. This is also in Surah Baqarah. So number one thing is this final and complete guidance for the mankind for all time to come. And he has been given another thing. بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. Now this word, this terminology is unique. دِينِ الْحَقِّ, Bittal has translated it, religion of truth. But mind you, religion, the sense contained in this word, what is usually understood from this word, that is a very narrow thing, very limited concept. What is religion? Generally, religion comprises of two parts, dogma and rituals. You may add to it a third thing, some customs. How the marriage is to be solemnized, How will be the separation? How will the dead body be disposed? These are customs. In a religion generally you find only these three things. Dogma, rituals of worship, some mode of worship, and some set of customs. Islam, mind you, is not a religion in that sense of the word. We can translate religion in Arabic by the word mazhab. And mazhab is a limited concept. You know that we call Hanafiyat a mazhab. Mazhab-e-Hanafi. Mazhab-e-Maliki. Mazhab-e-Hanbali. Mazhab-e-Salafi. All these are mazahib. And they are within that greater and all-comprehensive concept that is deen. Now what is deen? Deen actually is a whole system of life based upon a fundamental concept of sovereignty. In a deen, sovereignty is attributed to a person or to an institution or to humanity at large. And the whole system of life that is based on that principle, which is basic. For example, monarchy. What is monarchy? Sovereignty rests with a person. The monarch, the king, he has the right to make any law. Actually, the words he utters are the law. He is at liberty to change the law at any moment he likes, because the authority is with him. He is sovereign. The whole system is under him. That is what Fir'aun had said when Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he went there. He said, I am the monarch. I am the Rabb. Ana Rabbukumul A'la. I hold all authority. The whole system which is here in this country of Egypt, that is under me. Tahti, beneath me, under me. I know of no God above me. This is the true sense of monarchy. It's a whole system. What will you call it? Deen al-Malik. This is the system of monarchy. And some of you might have remembered that these words have come in Quran. In Surah Yusuf. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. حضرت یوسف علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام, he was not the king of Egypt. He held a position of authority there, no doubt. But it was under the king, Al-Malik, who had seen that vision which brought Yusuf علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام out of the prison. He was the king. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam asked of him, اجعلني على خزائن الارض. So give me the authority. You may call him the chief secretary of that government. You may call him the finance minister of that kingdom. But he was not the king. The system in Egypt was Deen al-Malik. And according to that system, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam couldn't detain his brother Binyamin. So Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفْ مَا كَانَ لِيَاخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. He couldn't detain his brother in that system. The law which was in force at that time, under that Deen al-Malik, the system of monarchy. So this is Deen al-Malik. Now you understand with the analogy
What will be Deen Allah? This word comes in Quran. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. I've given you both these terms from Quran. Deen al-Malik, Deen Allah. What is Deen Allah? A whole system of life based on the supreme authority of Allah. He is supreme. His words are supreme. His orders are supreme. He is the sovereign. Sovereignty rests with Him and Him alone. This is Deen Allah. The whole system of life has to be under this principle. And the same is the meaning of Deenul Haq. The true Deen. And you may translate it in another way also. The Deen of Truth. Deenul Haq. And who is Al-Haq? The Truth. It is Allah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. This is because it is Allah who is the truth, the complete truth. Now again, I might warn you that we can't translate the word haq into English. It's so comprehensive. Truth doesn't convey the whole sense contained in the word haq. But what to do? We have to be contented with whatever words we have in English. So Deenul Haq is Allah's Deen, Deen of Allah. Now, two things were given to the Prophet, to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ Al-Huda, the complete guidance, this Quran. And Deenul Haq, the complete system of life, based on the principle of divine authority, sovereignty of Allah, a system in which His authority is supreme, His will is supreme, His words are supreme. Now what for He has been sent? He has been sent with these two things. But what for? لَيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِكُمْ بِهِ So that He may make this deen haq supreme over all the deen or all the adhyan. Now what I have said about this deen, from that it must be very clear that two deens cannot coexist. Religions can coexist because religion is a partial entity, a partial reality. It doesn't control the whole of life. But you can very easily understand, two systems cannot coexist. Can monarchy and democracy coexist with each other? Can communism and capitalism be present in one country at the same time? Impossible. Either there will be sovereignty of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the sovereignty of the people. Both cannot coexist. Now what is democracy? In democracy, sovereignty is popular. It belongs to men, not to one man, but to all the men who are living in a country. They hold sovereignty in their hands. Now to exercise the authority bestowed upon them by this sovereignty, they devise certain systems. It might be a presidential system, as is here in your country. It might be parliamentary system, as is in UK and other many countries. But the principle is one. Sovereignty rests with the people. Now can this system coexist with Deenullah? They are contradictory to each other. Sovereignty can be either of Allah or of people. It can't be of both. So now, what's the practical problem? If you believe in the deen of Allah, and you don't profess it only with your tongue, you really believe in it. It's a personal conviction with you that this is the haq, this is the truth. The only way open to you is to endeavor, to exert to your utmost, to establish the deen of Allah in the country where you are living. If you don't do it, it means either you really don't believe it, or you are a coward. You have no courage. You have no strength of character. No third alternative is possible. Either you don't really believe in it. Mind you, it might be painful for some of you. But there can be no escape. It's simple logic. If a person really believes in democracy, sovereignty of the people, government of the people, for the people, by the people, and he is living in a country where a monarch is ruling, well, his character is being tested every moment. If he is living in that system, and he is also cooperating with that system, what will you say? He either doesn't really believe in democracy, or he is a split personality, he is a hypocrite. There is no third alternative. And we say it so about some of our friends who call themselves socialists. We are Marxists. And they are living in a country where the capitalistic system is working. And they are living there at ease. They are cooperating with the government or the system there. They are trying to get the maximum out of that system. All the comforts and everything. Still they profess, they say, we are socialists, we are Marxists. What do you say? They are liars. They are not true. They are not sincere. They are munafiq. For a true Marxist, there is only one way. He has to exert his utmost to overthrow the capitalist system and establish the system in which he believes, really. Now, same is the case with Muslims. We say we believe in Allah and His sovereignty. We believe in the deen of Allah. We believe in the divine sovereignty. We believe in Quran. This is the word of Allah. We believe in the Sharia. That is the law, the true law. And while we are living, we are passing our lives in a society, in a country, which is based on some different principles. If we are not struggling, and if we are not exerting to our utmost to overthrow that system, to uproot that system, and establish the system of Deenullah, the same will be, we must judge ourselves by the same standards by which we judge others. What are we then? Now keep this thing in view, and now you understand these words. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the complete guidance, that is Quran, and Deenul Haq, the complete system of life, all embracing, based on the principle of divine sovereignty, sovereignty of Allah. And what more He has been sent? لَيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. So that He should, it is His duty, He is duty bound to it, to make this deen of Allah supreme over the whole of the deen. The whole system of life should come under the principle of the divine sovereignty. Now you can very well understand that this is a revolutionary cause. It is not a missionary cause in the common sense of the word. The Christian missionaries and the Buddhist preachers, they are a different sort of thing. Never think Islam in those terms. Basically different. Preaching of Christianity is the preaching of a dogma alone. It doesn't have any law. It doesn't give you any system of life. Even the law of Moses, alayhi salatu wassalam, that is now not meant according to Saint Paul, and this is the principle of the whole Christianity now. It's not applicable to the Christians. There's no law. Only a creed, only a dogma, and everything is done. The same may be the case of religions, which are not complete systems of life. But we cannot compare Islam, which is a deen, with these religions. The only comparison that is possible is to these systems, Marxism, communism, democracy. They are a whole pattern of life. So if there is some other system in given territory, in a given country, and someone or some people believe in another system, what will they do? Not only preaching, they will be revolutionaries in the true sense of the word. They will try to change the system of the society. They will endeavor to uproot the system which is existing and establish the system in which they believe, so that their system becomes supreme. Everything comes under it. And this was the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why we can very easily understand most of these Orientalists, the Christians, they don't understand the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You might be knowing that Toynbee, I quoted him in the last Juma sermon. But the same person is saying something which is very foolish. He says Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam failed at Makkah but succeeded at Madinah. They have a concept of their own. The Makki life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they think it is prophetic missionary life. He is preaching. No war, only preaching and teaching. It is comparable to the life of Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. Three years, he was preaching here, giving a sermon on the Mount Olive, Batin wa Zaytun. In the same manner, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam gave his first sermon on the Mount Safa. So there is a comparison. But they think that he failed there. He had to flee from there. But according to their thinking, Muhammad was a changed person at Medina. Now he was a diplomat. He was a conqueror. Maybe they can say he was a king now. He was the head of state. He failed as a prophet, but succeeded as a statesman. These are the words of time. And with the same idea in mind, Montgomery Watt, he has written two volumes on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very voluminous. Muhammad at Makkah, Muhammad at Madinah. And they want to make us believe that these are two different Muhammads sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nakle kufr kufr nakashat. Muhammad at Makkah is a different person. Muhammad at Medina is a different person. Now, to be sympathetic towards them, let us try to understand what they mean by that. Where they are mistaken. Their concept of prophethood is restricted to the work of teaching and preaching and inzar and tabshir and ta'aleem and tarbiyah. To them, these are the functions of a prophet, all right. But fighting, making wars, making treaties, these are not the functions of a prophet according to their own limited sense of prophethood. Because these things, they are found in revolution. This is a revolutionary spirit. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam combines both. This is the fact which Mr. Hart understood. As far as I know, he is the first Christian writer. Some people have told me that he is a Jew, I don't know. As far as I think, he is Christian. The first Christian writer who has recognized the fact. And according to him, this is the very basis because of which he has put the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam number one in his ranking of the 100 biggest people. That he is the only person supremely successful in both the religious and the secular field. This is their mode of thinking, religious and secular. Religion in that limited sense of the word. And secular, the whole life. But in deen, as I told you, these two things come together. Islam is a deen. And for that, you have to launch a revolutionary struggle. If you really believe in it, there is no escape from it. If you are a real Muslim, to exert for that cause is the basic duty. And this was the basic duty of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. And note the last word, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Naturally, those people who don't believe in unity of Allah, in Tawheed, they will not like it. They will resist. Every system defends itself against any change. Because with every system, there are vested interests. If you try to change the system of life, there is a change in the whole structure of the society. And the vested interest must retaliate. It's a must. If they don't retaliate, if they don't defend themselves, well then they are not true to their system. If Abu Jahl opposed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was because he very well knew that this new deen is going to cut the roots of their interests. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Although there might be resistance from those who are mushrik, despite of that, in spite of that, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to do it. It is his duty. He has been sent for this purpose. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ. Now if the meanings of this ayah are clear, you ask a question to yourself. Could Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accomplish all this single-handedly? Bringing about a revolution, changing the very basic structure of a society. This can't be done by a single person. You have to have a party, a revolutionary party. You have to have those people who are dedicated. who can run the risks of their lives for that cause, who can give all that they have for that cause, unless such dedicated and committed people are there, a change in the structure of the society cannot be brought about. There can be no revolution. Had it been possible, I have said it many times, Moses would have done it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was also a prophet. He was also a messenger of Allah. And another messenger and apostle of Allah was with him. He was not alone. There were two of them. Musa wa Harun, alayhi salatu wasalam. But when the ummah, the people who profess to be following them, when they refuse to fight, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَاهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. Go, O Moses, you and your Rabb, and you wage a war. You go to the war, both of you. We are sitting here. They were told beforehand that God Almighty has already given this country to you. Just have courage, enough courage to enter the country and take charge of it. But what did they say? إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ. Very strong people who are living in that country. We can't fight them. إِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا. We won't enter the country so long as they are there. You drive them away, you and your God. When you have driven them out, we shall enter. What happened? That revolutionary process came to a halt. It stopped it. What did Musa say? Alayhi salatu wassalam. Rabbe inni la amliku illa nafsi wa akhi. Oh God, oh Allah, oh Lord, I have no power, no authority, except on my own self and on my brother. I can't force them. They are refusing. فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. So make a separation between us. We don't want to be with them. Well, it's going to be a long thing. But what's the essence? Two messengers of Allah, when the ummah, when the followers, they refuse to fight, their mission, the progress of their mission came to a halt. And it remained so for 40 long years. فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. But what was the case with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just the reverse. And that is what is given in these two ayat which follow this ayat. There is a call to jihad. To whom? To those who believe in Allah and believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deen is of Allah, deenullah. And to make it supreme is the duty of the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you are the people who profess to believe in both. You say you believe in Allah. You say you believe in the Prophet. Now it is your duty. Just the reverse. And that is what is given in these two ayat which follow this ayat. There is a call to jihad. To whom? To those who believe in Allah and believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deen is of Allah, deenullah. And to make it supreme is the duty of the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you are the people who profess to believe in both. You say you believe in Allah. You say you believe in the Prophet. Now it is your duty to do jihad. To do whatever you can. to sacrifice all you have, even to risk your life, so that the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is completed. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O ye who profess to believe, who say they believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Should I guide you? Should I tell you? The word commerce, I didn't like it here. Tijara. Trade would have been a better word, I think. Quran speaks to mankind in the words which are intelligible to most of them. This commerce, this trade, buying and selling, its meaning are absolutely clear to every person. Quran doesn't apply the terminology of philosophy, of logic. Very simple. It has coined its own basic terms. That is a different thing. You must understand the basic terminology of Quran. But Quran doesn't apply the difficult words of philosophy and the terms of logic. So here there is an analogy to commerce, to trade. What do you do in a trade? Well, what a shopkeeper is doing. He has invested some money and he is working. He is spending his time, his energies, his capabilities. What for? To gain something. These three things are basic. And these are the very things to which this ayah refers. هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ. There is a trade, the profit of which, the gain of which is that you will be saved from the fire of hell, from the doom of pain, مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. But to have a small gain, you have to work. You have to invest your money. You have to spend your time. You have to spend your energies. So to have that gain, that you should be spared from the fire of hell. You escape the punishment of Allah. You will have to do the same. You will have to invest your money, your wealth. You will have to spend your energies, your time, your capabilities. هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And this is a very natural way of education. You ask questions so that people themselves apply their own brains. And then you give the answer. The answer given by Allah Himself is, تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You must have a firm belief in Allah and His Messenger. Number one. Now there is one point here. Who are being addressed here? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O ye who believe. And to them it is being said, have belief in Allah and His Messenger. It means there are levels of believing. The first level is, the first grade you may call it, you utter the shahada with your tongue. You utter the words. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasul. You have come to believe. You will be accepted as a Muslim. This is iqrarun bil lisan. This is not the whole of iman. This is just the doorway to iman. The real iman is when you believe from the depths of your heart. Wa tasdeequn bil qalb. When it's a firm belief, a personal conviction in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that belief and that iman is required. Not only these words, تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And you make jihad in Allah's way, in the way of Allah. What do you mean by that? Exert your utmost for the cause of Allah. This is very important. What do we understand from the cause of Allah? There we shall have to refer to the first ayah. The cause of Allah is to make the deen of Allah supreme. That is the cause of Allah. You know, in a system of monarchy, if a monarch is deposed somewhere, there is some rebellion. Those people who are loyal, who are faithful to the monarch, and they fight the rebellion, the rebel, and restore that person to the throne again. What will you say? They have struggled in his cause. Same is the case here. The rightful monarch of all this kingdom of universe is Allah. And mind you, what we have done, we have deposed him. Or, at the maximum we can say, we have contained him in the mosque. You remain here. This is the only place for you. We will obey you here. We'll pray to you. We'll bow our heads to you. We'll prostrate before you. But you remain here, not outside. We are the masters outside. We'll do whatever we like. We'll legislate for ourselves. This is democracy. Man legislating for himself. Now those people who are loyal to Allah, they will have to fight for restoring the kingdom of this universe. This earth is, it belongs to Allah. And Allah only has the right ruling. Now this is the cause. You have to strive hard. تُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And now this said, jihad can be only with two things. بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ Any trade, as I told you, these two things are required. Some capital, some money. And some time and energy is to be spent on that. Here also, you have to go give both the things. أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ The best of what you possess. Just as Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عنه did. The best and the maximum of what you possess. Keep only that much which is necessary to sustain you. All the rest should be given in this cause. If you are really true, if you really believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best of your energies, the best of your capabilities, the maximum of your time must be devoted to this cause. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَٰلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ This is the best for you. Vital has translated, this is better for you. I don't agree with him. In English, there are 3 degrees. For adjectives, you have 3 grades. But in Arabic, you have 2. The same word is used for the comparative as well as the superlative degree. But when there is a comparison, then you will translate in the comparative degree. But when there is no comparison, then it is the superlative. ذَلَكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Had there been any words min, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا, better than that. But if that is not there, this is the superlative thing. This is the best for you. ذَلَكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Not better, the best. Because if you don't do that, what will you be termed? What will you be called? We have read Surah Munafiqun. And that surah is not very far away from the Surah Saf. I told you. There is a close relationship. This jihad is the main cause for the deviation which the Munafiqeen took. To pray five times, it was not difficult for them. Now let me tell you two things more. Number one, I, in one of my speeches, gave the basic call of Quran. What is that? Ya yuhanna su'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaq. Be slaves to Allah. Be His bondmen. Love Him, adore Him, obey Him. Be a complete abd to Him. Now, we must understand, you cannot be a complete abd to Allah unless you create around yourself a society, a system based on the principle of divine sovereignty. As an individual, you are a very true Muslim. You are saying five prayers a day. You are fasting for 30 days of Ramadan. You are paying zakah. But in the system in which you are living, the hands of the thieves are not chopped off. The punishment prescribed in Quran for adultery is not given. And you are a part of that system, so long as you are here. You can't say, I'm not responsible for that. You yourself can't be a complete abd. The more practical thing would be, the worst sin in Islam is riba, interest. Worst. The biggest sin, about which Quran says that if you don't give it up, then there is an ultimatum against you from Allah and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَاذَرُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. These words don't come on drinking wine. Not even in case of adultery. But for interest, these are the words. Now, if the system is not Islamic, you are living in a society, the whole economy of which is based on interest, you can't avoid it. You might be avoiding in one or two or three cases, but the whole system is based on interest. You can't say that you are absolutely safe from it. So, in order to be a full abd of Allah, to do justice to ibadat, you have to change the whole system. And you have to base the system on the principle of sovereignty of Allah. His words be supreme. I heard a sermon of some clergyman on television, a few sentences only. He was quoting from Bible, Thy will be done, Thy kingdom come. The same concept is true. Thine will be done, Thy kingdom come. The kingdom of Allah on this earth, in which all His orders are carried, all His laws are enforced, all His hudud and tazirat, all, given, prescribed in Islam. They are there, established. This is the cause of it. So, you can't be an abd in the complete and true sense of the word unless you establish the system of Allah, establish the deen of Allah. You can deceive yourself. And we are very expert in that. Well, I am doing such and such good thing. I have built a mosque. I have done that, I have done this. But the basis is wrong. Doing anything in a system which is basically wrong. So this is the point. You cannot be an abd to Allah unless you are living in a system based on the principle of ibadah, collective ibadah. And that is establishing the deen. In another speech which I made today, in the Juma sermon, I told you the second responsibility of every Muslim as a member of the Muslim Ummah. We have to testify. We have to be witnesses to the whole of mankind. And I told you that testimony has to be verbal as well as practical. Now, how will we testify that the deen of Allah is true? That is deen al-haq. That is the best system. That is the best guidance for the mankind. On that basis alone can there be a just society, a just distribution of the wealth. You can claim it in your sermons, in your books. I see that books are cropping up in great numbers. But what will be the outcome? You write thousands and thousands of books. Glorify Islam. But you don't testify to the truth of the deen of Allah practically. Unless you do it, it's all useless. It's all in vain. Why it is that on the whole surface of the earth, where more than 1,000 million Muslims, the so-called Muslims, are living, there is not a single inch of land on which the true deen of Allah might be reigning. How can we say we are testifying to the truth of Allah? Rather, as I said today, we are giving just the converse testimony. We are not establishing hujjah over the non-Muslims. Their hujjah, their argument is established on us. They will be able to say on the day of judgment, "O God, they were the people who had your deen with them, who had your word with them, who had your book with them. They were the custodians of your sharia. They were the custodians of your deen. But they themselves were following us. They were imitating us. Blind imitation. They were borrowing laws from us. They were borrowing the economic system from us. They were borrowing the social values from us." So the testimony, the practical testimony is reversed. You cannot be true witnesses for Allah unto mankind unless you establish practically the deen of Allah. If that is not done, the duty of the Ummah as a whole, the collective duty of the Muslim Ummah, that also cannot be fulfilled. So these are the three very basic concepts. If you want to ask yourself, what are my duties, basic duties as a Muslim? Number one, the basic, most basic of all, اعبدوا ربكم. He slaves to Allah. Obey Him. Love Him. Number two, be witnesses of Allah unto mankind. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Number three, establish the deen of Allah. أَنْ أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ. Make the deen of Allah supreme. The whole system of life should be under that principle. That the authority of Allah is supreme. Word of Allah is supreme. Will of Allah is supreme. لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. So that the words of Allah become supreme in a society, in a given country. The first two things cannot be completed. Neither the ibadah nor the shahada. None of them can be completed, fulfilled, unless Allah's deen is established. And that was the purpose and the distinguishing purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These words don't appear in Quran in connection with any other prophet. And they are used, they are repeated thrice in connection with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. And for that cause, those who profess to believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have to exert their utmost. They have to make jihad. They have to sacrifice. They have to risk their lives even. They have to devote the best of them for this cause. If they really want to be spared from the fire of hell. هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَٰلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So if we don't want to deceive ourselves, we should try to understand Quran objectively as far as possible. And then to try to act accordingly. One point more. And that is, this jihad cannot be done singly, individually. There has to be a jama'ah. La Islam illa bi jama'ah. There can be no Islam without jama'ah. Yadullahi ala al jama'ah. Allah's hand is over jama'ah, meaning thereby His help is with the jama'ah, not the individual. And the tradition, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear. Amurukum bi khamsin. This hadith is present in Mishkat. With reference from Musnad Ahmad and Tirmidhi. Rahimahumullah. Amurukum bi khamsin. I ordain for you five things. And in one of the riwayat, there come additional words. Allahu amarani bihi. And I am not prescribing all these things by myself. These are the orders of Allah which are communicating to you. And what are those five things? Bil jama'ati wa tam'i wa ta'ati wal hijrati wal jihadi fi sabilillah. Jama'ah, be a party. You can't do anything without a party. And that party should be a disciplined party. Not the sort of associations and the community organizations that we have. No discipline. The discipline here is samota, listen and obey. This is again a basic term of Quran. The ayah in Surah Taghabun, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَاسْمَعُوا وَاطِيعُوا. Listen and obey. I think the essence of this term is in that piece of poetry in English language. There's not to reason why, there's but to do and done. This is the military discipline. You have to obey. There can be only one exception to that. If there is some clear violation of divine law. Maasiyat. La ta'ata li makhluqin fi maasiyatil khaliq. If the order which is given is contravening some basic and clear injunction of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the orders will not be carried out. But within that limit, listen and obey. Bil jamaate wa sam'i wa ta'ati wal hijrate wal jihad fi sabilillah. These words are very beautifully brought here in this hadith. These are the two aspects of one single process. What is hijra? You withdraw from some system, from some society, from some customs, from some rituals. This withdrawal, it is hijra. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, Ayyul hijrati afzalu ya Rasulullah? Which hijra is the best? The reply was, أَنْ تَحْجُرَ مَا كَرِهَ رَبُّكْ. You leave everything, dissociate from everything which is not liked by Allah, by your Lord. This is hijra. You might have to give up the friendship of the dearest of your friends. It's easy to utter the words which we utter in the dua al-qunut, wa nakhlau wa natruku man yaqruk. Oh Allah, we dissociate ourselves. We cut and sever all relations from those who disobey you. So this is hijrah. This is the essence of hijrah. And it might culminate one day in leaving your homes and hearts, leaving the country of your ancestors, where your forefathers are buried, which is very dear to you. This hijrat can go to that extent that you might have to leave, as was the case with the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Now this is the negative aspect of that jihad. Leave everything, dissociate from everything which is not liked by Allah. And you do everything. Exert your utmost jihad fi sabilillah. And the meaning of that jihad, the meaning of that fi sabilillah, what is the cause of Allah, that are very clear from these three ayat which I have recited. And try to give you what I humbly, I should say, have understood from these three ayat of Al-Quran al-Hakim. May Allah give us the correct understanding, the correct concepts of what are our duties as a Muslim. What are the basic duties? And God grant us the courage to stand up to them, to try our utmost to fulfill our duty. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.